The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
So as we prepare to receive the Word this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want you to make this declaration with me. I want us to lift our voices. It's time to sound the battle cry. It's time for us to lift up our voices like those young people in that video to stop the destruction around us. There's something about a warrior who will stand in the middle of the battle and will lift up his voice and sound the battle cry of victory. And that's what we're doing in this confession. Are you ready? Lift your hands with me and declare, Father, thank you for the life in the Holy Spirit. I am led by the Spirit, not by the standards or the dictates of the flesh. For the Holy Spirit dwells within. The Holy Spirit directs and controls my life. Holy Spirit, you are my guide. Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. Holy Spirit, you are the one that empowers my life. You give me the victory day by day. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Thank you that I'm anointed. I receive that anointing. And I make a covenant this morning to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sound a battle cry this morning? Come on, lift up your voices. Hallelujah! Yes, Lord! Hallelujah! Amen, amen, and amen. Please be seated. Turn in your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But there a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The original hydrologic cycle was drastically different than it is today. It was a mist that actually watered the earth. The heavens had never been opened up. There was never a rainfall upon the planet like we know now. The reason? Because God determined that until He could find a man, He would not cause the earth to be cultivated. Could it be, guys, Joel chapter 2 and 23, that talks about the former rain and the latter rain, that God in this day would pour them out together? Could it be Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, that in that day I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy, your sons and daughters, old men, young men? Could it be that until God finds a man, He will not open up the heavens and pour out on this earth until He can find a man who will cultivate, tend to, address, cover, protect, and keep that which will grow as a result of this rain? Realize that what is true in the natural is true in the spiritual. I am convinced today that Zechariah chapter 10 and 1 is God's will and God's way. That He wants to pour out the rain upon the earth. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon this planet. But in Ezekiel 22 and 30, he said, I looked for a man to build the wall, to stand in the gap, but I could find none. Today, God is looking for men, not like Tim Allen, who's disconnected and who is ignorant of his own family's need, not like the Simpsons, who Bart is disconnected and only cares about himself, not like the way Hollywood projects husbands and fathers and men, but he's looking for real men who understand the God call upon their life, to recognize that he has given us as men the ability to cultivate and to tend and to till that which the Lord wants to bring increase toward upon this planet. Please, guys, engage me just for a couple of more minutes. Understand that this is a strategic time in the kingdom of God. It is a moment where this generation depends upon whether or not God will be able to find us. You say, well, Pastor, I'm in church. I know God. I love Jesus. I read my Bible once in a while. I even pray. I even show up occasionally to do things around the church. That's not the kind of guy that God is looking for. You see, in this generation, we have redefined what it takes to cultivate and what it takes to till and what it takes to keep and what it takes to tend upon the earth. I believe that the heavens will not open up. The outpouring of God's Spirit will not come until he finds a man. That's not to say that God cannot use women. I'm not being discriminatory here against women. Please, ladies, understand something. But for so long, as long as I've been born again, there has been a lack of strong, Holy Spirit-led leadership among the men who would rather play with their toys and act like little boys than they would to embrace the altar of God and to stand in a gap and build a wall. God is speaking by His Spirit to a generation and saying, do you realize how desperate we are? Do you realize that unless I find a man, this generation will perish? Right beneath our own eyes, our children's innocence is being swept away. While we sleep in our bed, a thief comes through the media of our young people's MP3s, television, and computers, and begins to steal away their innocence and begins to introduce them to a lifestyle that even is contrary to your belief. But you can do nothing of it, because a man cannot protect that which he doesn't know or understand is the object of the thief. We have forgotten what it is that the devil has really come to take away. He's not interested in your money. He's not interested in your house and your golf swing. He's not interested in how many points you score. He's interested in whether or not he can steal your children away. He can steal your wife away. He can steal your own affections and heart away from God unto himself. You see, today we have to understand we've got to become like soldiers. We need to become those that are going to say to the devil, we're going to take the creed of the army that gave us that creed that talks about how, and I have to catch up with where I was, the soldier's creed of how we need to become like men. Every man, I want you to stand up with me. I want you to take this creed seriously. I want you to lift your voice with me and read this thing. Let's shout it out loud. Let's become men that are willing to take this particular vow. You know, when you were enlisted in the army, this is the army creed that we've changed a little bit this morning. But we've got to make this covenant commitment because our nation, the kingdom of God, is under attack. Say with me, I am a Christian. I am a warrior and member of God's kingdom. I serve the people of the United States and live the kingdom values. I always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert. I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, and to destroy the enemies of God's kingdom in close combat. I am a guardian of the freedom and the Christian way of life. I am a Christian soldier. See, that's what God is looking for. You may be seated. Christian soldiers are those who never leave a fallen comrade behind in the enemy lines. Christian soldiers, men of God, are those that will never leave, no matter how big or no matter how wounded or no how maimed or massacred that one had become, never leave them behind to perish and to be toyed with as little playthings by the enemy. A man of God stands in the gap and declares, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to my family. It matters not what happens around me. They're going to have to go through me to get to my kids. My house will come under the guardianship of the call of God that is upon my life. I was talking to some men earlier this morning, and I remembered as a young boy growing up, I had a great, hard-working father. But he didn't have understanding of the kingdom of God. He didn't understand that he could carry the very Spirit of God in his belly. He had a third grade education. He came from Hungary. All he knew how to do was work hard. He wasn't the kind of father that would encourage me and speak words of edification. Most of the words that he spoke was what I wasn't doing right and how I could do better and how foolish I was for making the choices I made. Well, that's all right because he didn't know any better. But I thank God that I've got a father now who can speak to me the right things through the Holy Spirit. But let me ask you a question. I was 23 years of age when I gave my life to Christ. At that point, I looked for spiritual mentors. Thank God I found them. Men that were able to show me how to pray. Men that were able to teach me what was right and what was wrong. Men that were able to take me into their home and spend time with me, lay hands on me and pray with me, give me the kind of guidance that I needed. But let me ask this question. Where would I be today if at the time I came from my mother's womb, I had a father who was anointed under the Holy Spirit, who carried within his belly the anointing of God and the power of blessing that God had given him? Where would I be today at the age of 2 if he would have laid hands on me, or at the age of 6 weeks lifted me up and declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Who, like some families who walked in this morning to me and said, this is Caleb the prophet. Those families who understand that there is a calling upon their life, and that is to take what the Holy Ghost has given to us as men and impart it into our children, to lay hands upon them and rebuke the devourer, to put a wall of fire of protection about them and say, you will live for God and not this world, who will take a stand against the enemies of their soul and stand in the gap between heaven and hell and say, devil, I dare you to come to this house, for the blood of Jesus Christ has been placed upon this home, and through my dead body it will take for you to get to one of my little ones. Where would I be today if my father came in the middle of the night and laid hands on me and anointed me with oil in the middle of the night when I didn't even know that I was being prayed for? Where would I be today that when I made a choice that maybe was for the world, my father came and sternly rebuked me, laid hands upon me, cast the devil away from me, and loosed me into the power of the Holy Spirit? Where would I be today? Let me ask this same question. Every man in this room, we have an epidemic of fathers that are disconnected, dislocated. They are missing. They're dysfunctional. We're unable to function in the calling of God upon our life. Many of us in this room, if I were to ask, grew up with a single parent in the home, and there was a mother, but there was no father. Or if there was a father, he was married to the alcohol. He was married to drugs, or he was married to the girl down the street, but he wasn't responding as a father. Most of us would recognize that largely us as men have grown up under that kind of tutelage. But like Jacob, the great patriarch, upon his deathbed, rose up and began to lay hands upon his children. He said, the power of blessing is in me. He began to prophesy over every one of his sons. And out of that prophetic utterance came an entire nation. An entire nation was birthed, and that which he spoke came to pass, because there's something in him that God said, whatever you declare, I'll back up. Man, do we understand that God has put something in our belly that the world is crying out for? Your children are crying out for. They're saying, would you please tell me who I am in God? Would you please spare me from the things of this world? I don't want to go this way, Mom. I don't want to go this way, Dad. But I need somebody to fight for my soul. Today is a time when the Holy Spirit is calling us. And He's calling us into a new realm. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 10 tells of a story that I'd like for you to turn in your Bible. You see, I believe today can be the change that you've been looking for. Guys, I believe today is the change that your family's been looking for. Today is the change that your wife has been looking for. I don't know about you, but this is a moment when we as men have got to claim our territory. We've got to claim our territory. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple to pray. And the Bible says that they went up in the hour of prayer. And a certain man, everybody say certain man. God's always preaching to a certain man. God's always speaking to a certain person. And in this context of Scripture, He says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, Peter said, look at us. In other words, don't look at what we can accumulate in our hand. Don't look at what you think you have need of, the nice car, the boat, the camper, the new hunting gun or the hunting bow, or this or that. Look at us. Look at what God has deposited in us. Can I tell you that this is a time when we're going to have to change the focus of what our young men are looking at and what they're looking for? You see, we have taught a generation that if you can become successful, if you can have these toys, if you can reach this level of success and retire by the time you're 30 or 40, then you've reached that platform and level that the world would call successful. And so we have a generation that is hoping to be able to make it big, whether it's through some sport that they play, make it big, through some business deal, some way of trying to satisfy their need. But God wants to raise up a Peter and John generation that says, I want you to quit looking at what's in my hand. I want you to quit looking at the alms and that which is external, what you really think you need. I want you to see something inside of me. See, God wants to raise up a Peter and John man of God who can say to a generation, look at my belly, look at my spirit. There's something that God has deposited here that you really need. And what you really need is going to change your life forever. You see, this man was lame. Lameness is an interesting malfunction of the physical body. The Bible says his ankles were weak. The Bible says that his ankles were damaged. Evidently, he could not walk, because the Scripture tells us that men carried him there every day. Carried him there every day so that he could beg alms. Peter and John came in and said, the way you've been living and what you've been seeking and the way that you have been directing your life is about to change. Guys, I want to say to you today, today can be the change that you have been looking for. Why? You see, there's something inside of me that God has deposited over 30-some years. It has been growing. It has been getting emboldened. It is becoming more brazen and powerful. And I see a generation of men who have been carried to church, who have been carried to read their Bible, who have been carried to try to live right. They can't do it on their own. Their wife's pressure has caused them to live right. Their children crying out, Daddy, why don't you come to church, has been causing them to live right. Not wanting to go to hell and to go to heaven has been trying to get them to the place where they might receive something from God. But today is the change that you've been looking for. You see, God sensed about 3 months ago, and I started preaching this series on the glory of God's outpouring in the book of Joel, has begun to speak to a generation of men that said, I want to pour out my Spirit upon all the generation. But until I find a man who will stop playing church, who will stop sitting on the outside and start getting in on the inside, stop just showing up once in a while to see what he can get or what he can find, but to go all the way. Peter and John said, look at us. And I want to make a bold declaration to you today, guys. I want you to look at my belly. I want you to look down deep inside of me. And I want you to see that there's something in me that you can have. There's something that God has deposited in this house that if you want it, you can operate under it. And you can begin to walk and not be carried. You can begin to become strong and no longer stay weak, because the Holy Spirit has shown up to your life today to say, today can be the change that you have been looking for. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones, they began to receive strength. I believe anything is possible this morning. I believe we ought to abandon all of our schedules. I believe we ought to just camp out here long enough for the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to every man in this room. I think we ought to make a decision even now as I'm preaching. I want what's been deposited in this altar today. I'm not going to live my life the way I've been living it. I'm not leaving here until I become changed in the Holy Spirit. You see, that lame man had a problem. It was an ugly problem in a beautiful place. Some of you as men have come to this house today and you've got problems. You've got a beautiful family. You've got a beautiful wife. You've got a beautiful job. But you've got an ugly part in your life. You've been carrying it. It's been hurting you. You see, the problem is if you're lame in your ankle, it affects your entire life. There's things in our lives as men that have never been healed. There's things in our life, whether it be an abandonment by a father, whether it be a past hurt, whether it be a hidden sin, it matters not. But if it affects our ankles, it affects our entire being. It has limited our growth. It has stunted our development. It has held us back in the things of God. Until that thing is touched by the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to come into our fullness and the calling of God. We will be spectators rather than participators. Close to the heart of God, yet not in the heart of God. Close to the church, but yet not in the church. See, you may have come today, guys, and you're carrying a problem in your heart. But I want you to know this, that even though you're carrying a problem, that problem can be healed this morning. And the fact that you've come to church, some of you live with extreme guilt. Some of you deal with condemnation constantly from the devil because of your past, because of what you thought yesterday, what you did yesterday, how you snuck into here, or how you did that behind your wife's back, or how you carried these things that bring condemnation to you. Let me tell you something. Don't let the devil keep you from receiving your miracle today. You have not been disqualified. You have been qualified. Why? Because you're here. Because of the fact that you came here this morning, God looks upon the heart and he says, you know what? If you're in the presence of my glory, I can bring healing to that part of your life. I want to encourage you guys, deliverance begins when you're available for a miracle. And you have to make that determination. Am I available? Am I ready? Can it be that God can change my life today? Is today the change that I have been looking for all of my life? What do you really want, guys? I mean, are you really satisfied with your life the way it's been thus far? Who are you? What's your identity? See, the devil would like to keep you preoccupied any way that he can. Maybe it's debt. Maybe it's the World Series. Maybe it's some other sporting event. Anything other than available. Maybe it's with your hurts. Maybe it's with your job. Maybe it's with your past It doesn't matter. But he wants to keep us consumed so that we're not available for the work of God in this hour, in this generation. I want to make a bold statement. I believe this, that when God finds a man, he will open up the heavens and begin to pour out his Spirit upon this flesh. And it's going to start with your household. You say, well, my kids are already grown. They have children. It's not too late. You can redeem that situation. You say, well, I don't have children yet. Great, that's a good time for you to get on and get with it now before you do have children. You say, well, my children right now are in rebellion. They don't even want to come to church. He's 14. He's swearing. He's smoking on the side. What do I do? Here's what the Word of the Lord says to you. To take your rightful place. Stand in the gap between heaven and hell. Allow the Holy Spirit to impart to you this bold and brazen outpouring of the Spirit, and allow it to contact the children that God has given you and to impact your life. You see, you may never know what day is going to change your life forever. And I believe this. Today is that day. You see, let me ask this question. Is there a thief in your house? Is there a thief loose in your life? Is he stealing away your hopes and dreams? Is he stealing away your good marriage that you once enjoyed? Is he stealing away the relationship you could have with your son? Or you could have with your daughter? Is he stealing it away? That place where you know you please God? Is he stealing away the joy of the Lord out of your life? Then if there is a thief loose in your house, why don't we come to God today and say, God, you know what? My house is desperate. And it is up to me, not my wife. You know, a lot of us as men are content to take our wives and let them take the kids to church. We're happy as long as they pray with the kids. As long as they will live right. We can goof off and we can be nominal and we can be lukewarm. But as long as my wife will lead the way, a lot of us have been content for that. But listen, that kind of Christianity has gotten us nowhere. That kind of faith and that kind of walk with God has only brought more evil on the face of the earth. I'm thinking today, what could this city be? What could this city be if God were to find 300 men who will stand up and say, I'm tired of being that, and I'm now hungry, and I'm ready to lead the way and become that covering that God has called me to be able to loose that which God has deposited in my life. You see, you and I cannot protect what we don't know the thief wants. What does he want? What does he want? You know, as I look back upon my own life with my children, I think, God, you know what? If I only had somebody lay hands on me and tell me that I had power in my hand. If I'd only had somebody who would have breathed the Holy Ghost into my belly and said to me, preacher, you take those children and you begin to speak and prophesy to them. And you begin to declare to them on a daily basis who they are in God. And you begin to protect that. I'm thinking today, oh God, where would they be? I thank God today that every one of them are on the front row. Every one of them love God. Every one of them are serving God. But I'm asking this question. How much further could they have been had I understood what God had deposited in my belly? You say, you mean you never knew this? Oh, I might have known about it. I might have maybe understood it, but I didn't realize that I had the initial outpouring of the Spirit, that if I took my hands, I don't care who it is in this place, God has given something inside my belly. I can lay hands on you and change your life. I can speak to you and change your life. I can get up on a Sunday morning and declare, thus saith the Lord, and alter an entire community. Why? Because there is a prophetic utterance that God has deposited in us, and some of us have kept it capped. We have put it up around a wall. We've not let it out because of our own hurts and the damaged emotions of our life and the abandonment that we have felt. And we've lost confidence. And the Holy Ghost is saying, enough. I want every man to begin to declare that I am anointed. I am full of the Holy Ghost. And I can impart something into the lives of my children and impart something into the lives of those who work around me. You see, today, we have to recognize to be out of place is to leave ourselves exposed. And there are a lot of men who are out of place. There are a lot of men who are out of place. And all due respect, I love to hear worship when ladies sing. But I'm looking for some man to pick up that microphone, doggone it, and start leading worship and start singing and start praising God. Let me see tears come out of your eye ducts. Let me see you bow on your knee and throw up your hands. Let me see you lie prostrate on the floor. Why is it week after week I've got to sit up in this church and look at four young ladies lead worship? Why is it I've always got to find a woman that's leading intercessory prayer? Why is it we can't hardly find any men to be greeters? Why is it we can't find men in the nursery? Why is it we can't find men in children's church? We are causing our young men and women to grow up under the tutelage of women. Thank God for the women. But I'm telling you, this has got to become a new day. We've got to recognize, guys, that God did not call the woman to impart the Holy Ghost Spirit into the children. God called the men. God's looking for a man child. God's looking for a man child. God's looking for a man child. The Holy Ghost promise always came through a man child. Don't get mad at me, ladies. I'm just telling you the way it is. Don't get mad at me now because Pharaoh said, I want you to take every male child under the age of 2. And I want you to destroy them and I want you to kill them. Why? Because the righteous seed of God was always imparted through a man. Why was it Herod who heard about the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Why is it that he said, kill every man, baby. If you find a woman, let her live. But don't let a man live. I want you to kill that man child. Why is it that God caused the Holy Ghost to come on Moses' mother? I just want to know, where was the father? And the mother said, you ain't killing my baby. You're not taking this child out. And found a little basket and put him in the Nile and prayed a Holy Ghost prayer over him. Took him out there and watched him as he went. I know the mother was watching him. I just want to know where the father was. She knew something about that boy called Moses. That one day he would be a deliverer. That one day he would be a man that God would use to bring a whole nation out. My question is this. What could have Moses been had he not had to go through 40 years of the backside of a wilderness? What could he have been had he understood how to control his emotions and not murdered a man in the midst of a defense over his own position? What could he have been had his father taken him and said, not for me in my house, you will not kill this child. This child shall live. And he got not only on the side of the banks and watched Moses, but he walked down in the middle of the river and pushed that child into a safe place, stood along the side, built a little campfire, prayed in the Holy Ghost, and said, he is a deliverer, and began to prophesy over him. Could it be that Moses could have brought deliverance 40 years earlier to the nation of Israel, that he would have carried a spirit of that delivering power of God? I'm wondering today, church, where could our kids be? I'm wondering today why we need youth ministry. I'm wondering today why we need children's ministry. I'm wondering today why we have to come and bring our kids to the altar, and we're excited when they have a Holy Ghost outpouring during our youth meeting or during our children's church. I'm wondering, why is it we don't have that same report that comes from the house when mom drops off the child and says to the children's church worker, I want you to know this week my son and daughter got baptized in the Holy Ghost around the altar at our home. My son and my child began to prophesy to me. I thought I was going to lose my job, but my six-year-old began to declare the word of the Lord to me as a father, and he began to tell me that we're going to live and not die. And suddenly faith rose up in my spirit. Why is it that we're looking for the church to do what mom and dad ought to be doing? You never know who you are until you know what you are. I'm going to tell you, man, what you are. You're the seed. You're the seed of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. My God, I know it's already 11:34. Too many announcements and all that stuff. I can't help it. He said to the woman, your seed shall bruise his head. And he shall bruise his heel. Now, if you look up that word seed in the Hebrew, it's semen. Is that all right to say in church? Who's he talking to? A man or a woman? Who's he talking to when he said that? A woman. He said, your seed. Now, I don't know about that, but I don't think women have seed. My biology class said men have the semen. Now, isn't that interesting? God said to the woman, your semen shall bruise his head. You know what that tells me? Your man child. Come on, stand up here, Courtney. Can I show y'all? She's about to give birth. Come on up here. We're about a week away. God spoke to Courtney and said, your man child, your semen, your seed shall bruise his head.
That's right. If I could run.
If you could run, you'd run right now. Don't run. We don't want no baby now. Watch this. Your seed shall bruise his head. But this man has got to cover, till, cultivate, and protect the seed. Because this seed has got a target on it at birth. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't destroy it in the womb, 4,200 a day. If he can't destroy it in the womb through abortion, that when it's birthed, you get a disconnected father. Come here, Dad. And you get a father who's not covering the seed, who's out there cast the rod and do a little fishing. Yeah. Catch the big one. Tell all your buddies about it. Stop at the tavern, have a few drinks. Yeah, look at the internet. Oh, yeah. Play around a little bit with the chick over at work. Mama got a little out of shape. Mama got a little out of shape when she got that seed to me. That baby is left on the peripheral for the wolf to look at the weak and the straggling ones and to take them out. So while, stay right there, while they sleep, come here, precious, help me out, preach with me now. Come here, baby. While they play innocently, come here, Troy. While, no, Becca, I'm sorry. Troy, you stay there. Stay right here, baby. While mama and baby are church, worshiping Jesus and praying and teaching her Sunday school class. Troy, go up there and do, get the big one. I'm fishing, man. You got to go fishing. Go hunt. Do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Yeah. Get some buddies and play some baseball. And I ain't got time because mama take the baby to church. Mama will teach him how to, teach her how to pray. Let's pray. Say, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. How many know that it's real easy for a strong man to come in and steal the baby while daddy is out here doing his thing? Nobody's going to protect your baby the way you'll protect your baby. Nobody will cover your seed the way you'll cover your seed. Nobody will love your children the way you'll love your children. And if you want some strong man to come up in your house and take away your baby and cause your child to have an early death, steal their innocence, steal their holiness, steal their giftedness, steal their righteousness, mess them up, cause them to be dysfunctional, cause them to be warped in their thinking, so that when they do get saved, they've got so much time to have to be restored and redeemed to get to thinking right, because they weren't covered, they become neutral in the kingdom of God and ineffective for multiple years until the Holy Ghost can reach them. I'm saying today it's time that we cover the woman. Come over here, Troy. Come over here and cover your baby. Come on, get your baby and cover your baby. Cain, it's time that you cover that child and that your commitment is to that man-child. Because what God put in you is the only way it's going to get in him is if it comes out of you and you put it in him. I can't put it in him. I can stimulate it. I can motivate it. But God's called you. It's your seed. It was your semen. It wasn't my semen. It wasn't my seed. Why do you want me to raise up your child? I can't teach your children. You got to teach your children yourself. You want me to raise your baby at church? You want me to hire a youth man to keep him saved? You want me to have some children's church program so you'll stay in the church so your kids will learn about the Bible? It's not my semen. I know that's gross, but listen to me. I'm going to make it plain. It's not my seed. Thank you, guys. It's yours. It's your seed. And I believe the heavens will not open up until a man is in the right place. Guys, we're out of place. We're out of place, man. We are out of place. I'm looking for some real men. I'm looking for some men that believe in their seed, that will stand in the gap and say, if I perish, I perish. I'm not letting them go by the way of the world. I refuse to let that happen. Friday night at prayer, I said, God, give us some men. I don't care if they're 70. I don't know what it is. We get a little older. We think we can just retire. Fool you on that. You can't retire. You retire when I retire. I'm looking for some man with gray hair like me to be dancing up here. I mean, you say, well, I can't dance. Well, just lift one foot at a time. I'm looking for some men to flood these altars. I mean, bless these ladies. Jerry, I love your spirit. Cynthia, I love your spirit, but I'm just a little tired of women deal up here. Women coming up during worship. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And all the men standing back and they're going, oh, this guy. Oh. What happened to us? We don't see the need. We got to get in the right place. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Give me a few more minutes. Matthew chapter 3. Just give me a few more minutes. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 15. Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed them. What was he talking about? He said, I need you to baptize me. I don't know about you, but I think I think when babies are up here being baptized, it ought to be the dad doing the baptism. You don't need no elder to do it. I think we ought to change that right now. I think we ought to have a new policy in the church. I don't need a staff minister to do it. I don't need an elder to do it. You're the priest of the home. You come up here and get in that tank. You baptize your child. You lay claim to your child. You put him under the water. Well, I've never done it before. Well, I'll teach you. I'll show you how not to drown him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens. The heavens, say it with me. The heavens were what? The heavens were what? What were the heavens open toward? The heavens were open toward him. The heavens were open toward him. Where was him? In the... What water was he in? The Jordan. The heavens were open to him who was in the Jordan, right? In the water. The heavens, Genesis 2, verses 4 to 6, were open unto him when he was where? In the water. In what river? The Jordan. The Bible tells us simply this. The Jordan represents death. When they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, they were crossing death, old life through death into new life. The Jordan always spoke of death. God's word said, when he found him in the Jordan. That's our place. That's our place. That's our place. This world has taught us as men, we need a bud. We need a break. We need a little satisfaction. We need a little joy. We need a little recreation. We need a little time away. Listen, I want you to know something. As men, that our wives are killing themselves trying to hold this thing together. They are killing themselves emotionally, spiritually. Many of us as men come home from work and we think our duty is done because you went to work. And your wife worked. She blessed and prepared for the children. She's doing like three jobs and you do one. Brings them to church. Let me tell you something, what it's like to bring babies to church. I was blessed today. Mary and Gary, where are you? I know you were here. Stand up. Mary and Gary walked through the door this morning. Everybody look at them. Say, hi, Mary. Hi, Gary. You guys are awesome. Come on, tell them. You know why they're awesome? Because they walked through the door this morning. She was carrying one baby. There were three walking behind her. Gary come in walking, carrying another baby. If you can count, that's five. I want you to know what it would be like. Gary, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to sit down. Mary, I want you to stay standing. Now I want you to look back at Mary. I want you to see that woman back there. What it's like to be able to carry five children by yourself. Coming to church, diaper bags and children. She said to me, with Gary, she said this, we're here. It was kind of tough, but we're here. Why is she here? Stand back up, Gary. That's why she's here. Right there. That's why she's here. If it wasn't for him standing right there, I don't know, Mary. Maybe you would be. Maybe you're able to overcome all that pressure. I don't know. Maybe you're like a superwoman or something. But if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be serving God. You wouldn't be here with those babies. I'm telling you guys, it takes our coming to the right place. You know what that's called? Death to ourself. Death to ourself. Death to ourself. To recognize that there's only one reason and one reason only why I'm on this planet. To recognize there's only one reason and one reason only why I married that woman. To recognize there's one reason and one reason only why I've got nine grandchildren. To recognize that God will probably give me life to see my grandchildren's children. there's one reason, that I will take what God deposited in my spirit and in my belly and recognize that that's my semen. That's my seed. I'm responsible. And I must impart into them what God has put into me, lest the enemy steal them away. Guys, you got to get in the right place. Today could be the change that you've been looking for. You and I have got to come to the Jordan. Baptism speaks of death, going down into the water, into the grave. Romans chapter 6, coming back out with newness of life. It speaks of the life we now live. We live by faith in the Son of God. I have no other purpose on this earth. Sure, I can have recreational time. Sure, I can go fishing. Sure, I can hang out with the guys. That's not something we're saying you can't do. We're saying, though, that God has called us as men to stand in the gap, to be in the place of death, and to say there's one reason why I live, and that my kids, my grandkids, may know that Jesus Christ is real. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5 says this. Well, let's finish this verse. He said, and he said, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. See, when you get in the right place, that heavens will be open and the Holy Ghost will come. And suddenly he heard a voice saying from heaven. Now, how many know that Jesus was the Son of God? Let me see your hand. Why would the Son of God need to hear his Father say anything good about him? You know you're the Son of God, you're bad. You came to the earth like, all right, I'm the Son of God. But Jesus needed to hear from Dad. I need to hear from you. 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 They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. Every man. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. Well, they know I love them. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. They know that I'll stand. No. They need to hear from you. They need to hear from you. They need to hear. This is my beloved Son. Say the last three words with me. Or four. Whom I am what? Whom I am what? Dad, could you just tell me that you love me? Could you just tell me that I'm doing all right? Could you just tell me you're pleased with me? There's not a man in this room that doesn't want to hear that from their father. There's not a woman in this room that doesn't want to hear that from their father. Because we're not in the right place. Because we've been disconnected. God is waiting for you to get in the right place. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5 says this. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the children back to the fathers. You know what kind of move of God I want? I really don't care how many people fall on the floor in this altar. I don't care how long we sit around this place and worship. I don't care how many flags we fling around in the air. I could care less how many people come to this church and cry out to God. I'm looking for men to turn their hearts back to their children, and for children to turn their hearts back to their fathers. That was the prophecy. That was the word that will tell us that is truly a move of God in the last day. My question is this. Where are all the fathers? Where are all the fathers? Where are all the fathers? You see, today, if he can't destroy your seed, he'll damage it and get it out of its place. There's going to be a deliverance. If there's going to be a deliverance, it's going to come through a man. Ladies, that's not to discount the fact that if you're single and you're raising those children, that God can't use you as a delivering agent. He will. But I'm looking for a father. I'm looking for a generation of men that will stop tantalizing themselves by the pleasures of this world will stop looking for instant gratification, self-exaltation, to become a soldier in the kingdom of God. Looking for men. You say, well, Pastor, I'd do it, but my God, I'm so wounded inside. I'm so bruised. I'm ruined. I'm just barely functioning myself. I understand. I understand that spirit that's been imparted to you. See, we're just like Daddy, aren't we? Your daddy couldn't talk, and neither can you. You can talk about your children to your wife, but you can't talk to your children about them. We as men, we are just like Daddy, aren't we? Daddy was an alcoholic, and now you struggle with it. David had sons. Amnon slept with his sister. But I wonder why. Maybe because David saw Bathsheba and had his little affair. Maybe it's Isaac doing what Abraham did. She's my sister. Maybe it's because our fathers didn't tell us who we were in God. Maybe because we didn't have anybody that come up to us and say, you are a man of God, I'm pleased. You are awesome in the things of God, and you are a prophet, and you will speak to your generation, and you will change this world. I am so proud of you, son. I think that God has placed in you a word for the nations. Thank you guys for telling me and introducing me to Prophet Caleb this morning. I got a chance to meet a prophet while he was in the arms of his mother. You say, oh, she's just saying that. Dad said it first. She just echoed what Dad said. It's not easy, is it, as a woman trying to carry everything in the household, is it? It's not easy trying to say who he is without him. It's not easy trying to cover him without him. But oh, when you can cover him, and you can link up with him, and you can stand together, buddy, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You're going to be awesome in the things of God, because I got you covered on the right and on the left. You see, it's time for us as men to take our rightful place. Every man in this room, I want to speak to your spirit right now in the last few closing moments of this meeting. I never intended for the service to go this long, but I'm telling you this, we have become too much like our fathers. My question is, where have all the fathers gone? Blessing can only come by the hand of the Father. If your father doesn't name you, the world will. Jacob went to God and said, what is my name? He said, your name is no longer Jacob, but it's Israel. You're no longer a deceiver. You're no longer a manipulator. You're a prince. I want to hear that from my father. I want to hear that from my daddy. But you know, my daddy's gone. My daddy didn't know the Lord. My daddy wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. But God gave me a daddy. It was only for a few short years, but he gave me a daddy. He began to lay hands on me. And every time I was around him, he'd grab hold of my belly and say, be blessed! At the time, I didn't understand what he was doing. But he was taking some of what was in him. He was putting it up inside of me. You see, Jacob said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Guys, I know the game's coming on. I know you got things going on this afternoon. You want to go places. But I'm telling you, are you ready? No matter what it takes, until God blesses you, that you won't leave this altar. So that somebody, if it wasn't your father, will have somebody like me lay hands on you and tell you who you are, how powerful you are, prophesy to you, impart to you a spirit that will literally change your life. Let me say this about some of the men. You have done what they say you did, but you are not who they say you are. You are not who they say you are, even though you've done what they say you did. Here's what God did. He spoke through Peter and John, and he said, rise up and walk. Some of us of men have been so bruised by our fathers and so bruised by neglect and so bruised, and we've got plenty of room up here on the platform if you want to come up here, it doesn't matter to me, that even though the healing virtues of Christ are moving into our lives, we still need somebody to take us by the hand and help us up. And I want to help you up this morning. I want to help you up this morning. You feel led of the Lord, and I was going to make this appeal, and you already did it. I want you to get up from where you are, man. I want you to rise up and walk. And I don't want you to leave your brother at the gate. I want you to pull him up. So here's what I want you to do, guys. Some of you, I want you to look back. If you see a man standing or sitting there, I want you to go back to him and say, listen, why don't you come with me? If he doesn't want to come, then don't bring him, but I want you to help him. Some of us as men need some help. I want you to go back, guys, and get every guy.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.